Penguin Random House Audio presents Minor Dramas and Other Catastrophes by Kathleen West. Read for you by Julia Whalen. For Dan and Chef and Mac, all my favorites, tied for first. Isabel Johnson. Isabel Johnson spent most of each class period and half of that afternoon's department meeting obsessing over the message. She'd tried to place the strident voice and had ruled out suspects based on their holiday teacher gifts. How could someone give her a $20 Starbucks card, she reasoned, and then 6 weeks later threaten her via voicemail? Isabel took a deep breath as she headed for the door closest to the teacher parking lot and felt her belly strain against the waistband of her wool pencil skirt. She sucked her stomach back in and recalled the language in the message. Flagrantly Marxist was there, as was anti-American, and, she thought, retaliation. She'd have to play the message for Mark when she got home. That would make for more interesting dinner conversation than the usual rundown of soccer practice and school day antics. Thinking about it, Isabel let out a rueful little laugh as she walked into the dull February chill.
"What's so funny?"
Isabel looked back at Jamie, whom she hadn't noticed was walking behind her. She'd first met her young colleague at the mentor luncheon during the woman's first week of work the year before. Now, Jamie's scuffed Liston Heights name badge clattered against a button on her fitted gray cardigan as she shifted her backpack and threw her arm through the second strap. Isabel credited herself with Jamie's successful start at Liston Heights High, which had just that month been, once again, named the top public high school in the state of Minnesota. The school's high-powered parents usually devoured new teachers, but Jamie had made it through her first year and a half with relatively few tears and only three or four parent complaints. Of course, it also helped that Jamie herself had graduated from Liston Heights just 6 years before. She knew how to present herself as an insider.
"Oh, hi," Isabel said. "I was just thinking over some of the kids' responses to Chapter 6. Would you believe that Justin Williams suggested the chain of drugstores referred to Gatsby's secret cocaine ring?"
Isabel rolled her eyes. After that, I didn't even ask for their interpretations of Daisy's little gold pencil.
"What do you think of Eleanor's idea to move Gatsby to the fall?" Jamie asked, zipping her coat.
They'd just spent 15 minutes on that asinine proposal in the department meeting, Isabel staring resolutely at her notebook as their senior faculty member blathered on.
"Why not tell me quickly about the OKCupid guy instead?"
They had 100 yards or so before they reached Isabel's minivan. She could see Jamie's Prius parked a couple of spots beyond it.
"Oh my gosh, yes," Jamie gushed. "So we've been messaging for like 3 days, and we finally made a plan to meet near my apartment for a drink after work tomorrow. Of course, everything is complicated by the proximity of Valentine's Day, but we already joked about that."
"Drinks on a school night?" Isabel couldn't help herself. She smiled, feeling old.
"I know," Jamie said, her dark eyes shining. "But remember the photo I showed you? He's super cute. I'm just marginally concerned about the fact that he's a chemical engineer. If we get married, it's possible my dad will love him more than he loves me."
Isabel flinched at concerned, which had been the lead in the message from that morning. "This is a concerned parent," the woman had said, her voice piercing and angry. Isabel had frozen where she stood as it started, her tote bag weighing down her forearm, right foot halfway into her L.L. Bean boot. The kids had already tromped out to the van, and they were 3 minutes behind the ideal departure time when the phone rang. Isabel hadn't bothered to race to it. No one they knew used that number anymore, now that even 12-year-old Callie had a cell phone. Besides, who called at 7:33 a.m.?
"CrossFit," Jamie was saying now. "I mean, I suppose I could give it a try." The two stopped even with Isabel's minivan, a grimy, live simply so others can simply live sticker affixed to the lower right-hand corner of the back window. Isabel reached into her pocket for the key fob and watched the hatch rise. "You know how I feel about lifelong learning," she said. "Why not master weightlifting?
Maybe tomorrow we can talk about what I might wear on this date."
Isabel threw her tote into the minivan next to the bulk pack of veggie straws from Costco and a flattened baseball mitt. She hit the close button.
"We can talk about it," she said as the hatch came down. "But we both know you have much better instincts than I do."
"But that skirt."
Jamie pointed at the pink herringbone poking out beneath Isabel's coat.
"Caroline."
Isabel smiled, referring to her high fashion sister, her go-to answer whenever anyone complimented an outfit.
"Hey, have a great night."
With a wave, she got in the minivan and headed home. Tuesdays were Mark's one day for kid pickup and meal prep, and Isabel knew Callie and Riley would likely be engrossed in the Disney Channel, homework ignored while Mark assembled something in the kitchen. Things were just as she'd predicted when she opened the back door at 5:34.
"Hi, Mom,"
said Callie as she preemptively relinquished the remote to her 8-year-old brother and smiled widely. Isabel leaned over the couch and kissed both of their heads, her glasses slipping down her nose as she dipped.
Riley, maybe a shower tonight.
He screwed his face into a frown.
"Bath,"
he countered.
"Fine."
Mark smiled over the kitchen counter, where a pile of green onion slices expanded under his knife.
"How was your day?" she asked him, dropping her tote and jacket on a chair.
She headed toward the landline console at the end of the counter.
"Good,"
he shrugged.
"Busy."
"Wait," Isabel interrupted, reaching for the machine. "I meant to text you. You have to hear this."
"What is it?"
Mark looked up. "It's weird," Isabel said. "Just listen." She hit play.
"First message," the machine's stilted voice said.
As soon as the recording began, Isabel could hear the caller's breathing.
"Ms. Johnson."
A tremor underlay her authoritative tone.
"This is a concerned parent. I'm calling because many community members are alarmed about the flagrantly Marxist and anti-American content you're preaching in your so-called literature class."
"What?"
Mark exclaimed, stepping toward her, knife still in hand. The woman's voice continued.
"I speak for a majority of Liston Heights families when I say we've chosen this community for the traditional excellence of the schools."
The speaker took a breath.
"I know you don't live here, and I'm not sure what you're aiming at, but we're asking you, urging you, really, for the sake of our children and, frankly, for the sake of your career, to stick to the board-approved curriculum."
The speaker delivered the final line of what had to be a pre-written statement.
"I'm choosing not to reveal my identity for fear that you'll retaliate against my child, but do know that I speak for a large constituency of parents, not just for myself."
"What the hell?"
Mark said as the machine beeped.
"Dad,"
admonished Riley from the couch.
"Language!"
"Sorry," Mark said, not looking at him.
"Who was that?"
"I don't know."
Isabel squinted at the water streaks on the outside of the stainless steel dishwasher.
"There's that one mom who said that thing to me at the Sadie's dance a couple of weeks ago, Julia Abbott."
"Oh, right,"
Mark said.
"That thing about, like, not being worthy of Liston Heights. What does she mean by that?"
"I guess it means I don't belong."
Isabel pointed at the machine.
"Bizarre."
Mark put the knife down.
"Of course you belong. And how did that person get our number?"
"There's a directory," Isabel said. "You have to opt out, and I never do."
She thought for a moment.
"Let me listen again.
Hey, Cal,"
she called to the couch.
"Can you turn that down?"
She hit the play button without waiting for her daughter to comply and leaned toward the speaker. It didn't quite sound like Julia Abbott, with whom she'd talked several times. She wrapped her arms around her waist and hunched her shoulders, making herself
sample complete. Ready to continue?